Canceling plans because your knees hurt? Nope, not anymore. Get to Joint Relief Institute. Safe, fast, immediate pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to Paul Listening Behind the Curtain, our weekly opportunity to take a look at the world of theater and the arts going on in Chicago. And coming up soon is one of Stephen Sondheim's classic shows, Company. Yeah, it's toured nationally and it's changed throughout the decades, but there's a new version coming up, that is the current version, coming up at the Skokie Theater, and it's going to be playing starting on February 6th, running through March 1st. I want you to meet the director and some of the cast. Can't get all the cast. There's so many to talk about what this great show is. If you're a Sondheim fan, you do not want to miss this because I see productions at Skokie Theater. They do great stuff. So joining us, let me start with the director, Steve Scott. I mean, I know these cast members are also honored to be with you, Steve. You are a legend in this Chicago theater community. I mean, you really are. And just, I had credentials and I thought I'll have time for nothing else if I go through them. But other than noting your Lifetime Achievement Award for 40 years in the biz and the awards you've gotten from Goodman, working with Goodman as a director, but in all sorts of other theaters, you've over 300 productions and Northlight and Shattered Globe and Red Orchid. And I know you're current artistic director of Dune Summer Theater in Michiana. Unbelievable background. I've always loved you. And thank you for joining us for this as you step into yet another project.
It's my great pleasure, Paul. And I love talking about this play.
And don't ever say you're retiring because you're not.
No, I'm not.
If you know the story of Company, which I'll actually have Steve give us a little bit more, but it involves around a guy named Bobby, who's turning 35. I remember that. And dealing with the troubles of the world as to whether relationships and marriage and all of that, and playing Bobby is Graham Todd. That's a challenging role, Graham. That's a big role for you, but I know you've done Fantastics and Legally Blonde, so you're up for it, and I'm assuming your training in Moscow got you ready for this.
Yeah, absolutely. I did about a month of Moscow Art Theater School in Russia, and that very Stanislavski approach, which we've even talked about in rehearsals a little bit, this Chekhovian approach to Company, I think it's going to get me ready, and I'm really excited for it.
Absolutely. We'll talk Russia some other time, like how I almost got arrested there. And, of course, Bobby has a series of girlfriends in this show. And so joining us is one of those girlfriends, Kelly Killoran.
Yes.
And, yes, you play one of the girlfriends here. So we're going to find out about that dynamic. And then there's lots of couples in this show with all sorts of dysfunctional things going on. And so I leapt into one of those couples to join us. And that couple is Peter and Susan. And Peter, played by Aiden Sternberg, who just wrapped up Death Trap over at the Skokie Theater. And I know you were in A New Brain over it. And you've done a lot of stuff. And Fatima, you as well, Rent and Into the Woods and 25th Annual Putnam County. I mean, look at this cast, just all this stuff going on. Let's get to it so we can find out about it. Steve, I'll come to you as the honored legend among us. Give us the brief description beyond the 35-year-old wondering what to do. What is Company all about?
Well, it's very simple. It's about a man who's turning 35, which is kind of a watershed year for everybody, has not had a serious relationship, has been avoiding serious relationships, and all of his friends, which are the five couples that we see, are trying to figure out a way to get him attached to somebody. And he keeps kind of pushing back and pondering and all of that. We also see three of the women that he's dated and what the problems were with that. So it's a very personal show for anybody who has ever had questions about, should I get involved with somebody? Should I remain single? Everybody can relate to that. But it's also about the city. It takes place in New York. And basically, the city is filled with people. But as I discovered when I moved to Chicago, being alone in a huge city is even lonelier than being alone in a small town. So it's about that kind of mindset too, and rushing around, but never knowing where you're going or what you're going to get when you get there. So the show is almost 50 years old, but it means more today, I think, because our world has gotten busier than it did when it opened in 1971.
Yeah, and getting 14 Tony Awards and winning six of them, and the music is incredible. So Graham, you play Bobby. That's a lot on your plate. Now, having heard Steve's description of Bobby, I mean, do you, as you craft this role in your head, are you saying, "Yeah, direct me"? Or are you saying, "I relate to this. I get this"? What's your approach to tackling Bobby?
Yeah, I think this character is really important to me. When COVID hit in 2020, I actually took a break from theater for a little while. I had my daughter. I got married. I've kind of been living some life, and just lived a lot of relationships and people, and worked on being more intimate with my wife, and, you know, being a parent. It's changes your worldview. And I think coming back to theater with all of that life experience, moving here to Chicago, you know, I lived alone in Detroit for a long time. That kind of city feeling vibes with me really well. I'm excited to bring something to this character that I think only I, with my life experience, will be able to bring to it. And hopefully bring the audiences along with it as well.
And Kelly, as one of the girlfriends, do we get your character as, is it a, you know, sort of a challenge between the three who will win, or do you each have your own separate stories in this show?
Yeah, so I would say we definitely more so each have our own separate stories and glimpses into our own relationships with the character. But then, as any good play does, there's moments where, you know, they kind of bleed into each other, where all of our moments are showcased in one song, for example, Another 100 People, and you get to see all these glimpses into his different relationships. So they're separate, but they're still kind of being meshed together, which I think is really beautiful aesthetically. And another moment in Act 2, which I'm personally very excited about.
All right. And Aiden, so you play Peter. It's interesting because your character is sort of described as the perfect husband and the perfect ex-husband.
I'm just perfect.
Practically perfect in every way, as Mary Poppins might say.
Exactly.
So talk about, we'll get Fatima in, but talk about your, Peter's relationship with Susan. And what do you mean husband, ex-husband? Which tell us about that.
Well, I think Peter is a very fun role that I'm going to get to tackle, because he's a very, to me, very, he puts his jokes out in the front. Like, he has this whole facade of like, he's just this laid back, chill guy. But I think, like, deep down, especially in his fun scene in Act 2, he has a lot of other ulterior motives, especially like with Bobby, as you might see in the second scene, that I think will be really fun to dive into. I don't want to give away too much about the show for anybody.
No, we need people to come see it. But let's go to the flip side of that equation, Susan, your wife and ex-wife. So talk about that, because you're kind of the Southern Belle in this show.
Yes, I think Susan is a very fun character for me. She has a fun little Southern Belle side of her. And I think she's very kind, very sweet. And I think in that way, she does make a perfect wife, but also makes kind of the perfect ex-wife, because she'll always be kind to you no matter what.
This show for me, I mean, everything about Stephen Sondheim is in his music. And to be honest, Steve, it's almost like since his death, I mean, I think people like us, we got Sondheim and appreciated Sondheim forever and a day. But a lot of other people seem to be waking up to just the brilliance that he was. The music. Can you talk to me about, because you've directed 300 shows, more, but you're directing a show with music. So, you know, taking us from story to music, and sometimes music has to fit the piece. We get The Ladies Who Lunch. We get, you know, Side by Side by Side. It's just, what great songs in this show.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And it's interesting that Graham talks about working with Moscow Art Theater. We're not going to do that necessarily, but it's not a musical where people just come on and sing and dance and then everybody goes away happy. You don't see any of the characters except for Bobby for very long, so you have to know a lot about them as soon as you see them. So a lot of the rehearsal process is going to be figuring out who these people are, all the things that we're not told in the play that we need to know, that the characters need to know, so that they can play the scene that they are playing. So we're going to do a lot of diving in. And also the music, the style of the music, and the lyrics further all of that. You know, Sondheim was a brilliant lyricist. And I think if Chekhov had been a composer, Chekhov would have been Sondheim, quite frankly.
Interesting. No. Yeah. Was Sondheim was Sondheim Chekhov? I mean, let's do it the other way, because Chekhov.
I never asked him, nor have I ever asked Chekhov. Okay. but it's also very funny and it's very lively, and at the end it's really, really kind of heartwarming. So it's got everything that you want in a musical play.
Yeah, and you could have asked Bob Falls; he knew Chekhov.
Yes, he's told me many times.
Exactly. Cherry Orchard, who knows what's going on. But anyway, so here's the thing. We've got to take a commercial break. So can I ask you guys to stay on with me? Because there's so much more. I mean, Company was around recently and in a very different format. And I want to kind of get your all reaction to that versus the decisions made and how it's being done this time. For people who are watching us, they might or might not know what I'm talking about, but they're going to want to know. And so can you all hang with me?
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate that. Sure. I will say for people that don't rejoin us, because on Monday morning, this will go over to the WGNradio.com side. But I will tell you that this show runs February 6th through March 1st at the Skokie Theater. Tickets can be gotten at SkokieTheater.org. Theater spelled the proper British way, T-R-E, SkokieTheater.org. You don't want to miss this fabulous show. No, there's a reason it got 14 Tony nominations when it was first up and won 6 of them. We're going to take a break. But if you're listening to WGNradio.com, hang with it, because there's more to talk about when it comes to the show Company. We'll be right back. And I'm continuing my conversation with the director and some of the cast of Stephen Sondheim's Company, playing at the Skokie Theater from February 6th to March 1st. Now, you guys are just, as we're talking now, you're early on in this rehearsal process. So it'll be almost fun to talk to you later on. And I'm going to come see this show, and I'd love to get some of your thoughts after that. But that being said, the last time this show was in Chicago, I don't know, last year, something like that, there was it was given quite the spin. And the spin was that Bobby became a girl, a woman, and we also had, rather than a couple, we had a gay couple put in there who were dealing, one of whom was played by my good friend Matt Roden, and also Ali. There are a lot of great people in this show who were carrying it on, but you've returned to the original. I've got to come to you for that, Steve. Was there any discussion of whether we do the traditional or the newfangled Company?
I was up for doing either, quite frankly. But I think the deciding factor is that I don't believe they're releasing the female version of Company for a production for smaller theaters yet. So
it wasn't an option.
I think the new version is fascinating, because the whole thing about time, and the show is all about time. Time is, the clock is ticking. Time is wasting. Means more when you're a woman at the age of 35 because of the biological clock idea. So that excited me. But I realized when I found that we had to do that, we were going to do this version. The same thing is true for Bobby. I mean, he's not going to have a baby necessarily, but you know, 35 is a line of demarcation, and to a certain extent, whoever you're going to be, that's who you are at 35. And if you're going to make changes, you better make them soon, or else they're not going to have any effect. So it's time is a very important element in this. And there's a number in the second act called TikTok, where we literally see the clock moving. But it's also, that's what's driving everybody. We have to get things done now. So, yeah.
And, well, so Graham, you just heard what Steve said. I mean, yeah, maybe for women, it's a different kind of a TikTok going on than there might be for a man. But I found it interesting in your answer to my first question, which was talking about Bobby, because you talked about your own personal life. Just had a kid, got to make the adjustments. It sounds like that in your world, those very same sort of life issues come into play.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that with, you know, with theater and Bobby being played as a woman previously, theater always adds upon theater. And it would be missed if I didn't acknowledge the fact that this character could be played as a woman, or this clock was ticking for this character. So as I'm kind of moving through this character, that's definitely in the back of my mind of, this has been played by a woman before multiple times. where do I draw the connections for this character? Where does that root back to him and who he is inside here? And I'm really excited to explore that even with Peter, with Aiden, and some of those scenes, and discuss some of that history, with Bobby. And again, I don't want to give too much away there, but, certainly that is on my mind of how does this correlate back to me, of maybe my own, thoughts internally of, gender and sexuality, and
and by the way, I never give secrets away. I love that you're kind of guiding that yourself or guarding against that. My favorite story on that was interviewing the cast of Dear Evan Hansen, and I said up front, is there anything you don't want me to bring up? And somebody says, don't say that Connor dies. I'm like, that happens in the first 5 seconds of the show. But
pretty early.
Right and early that goes on. But Aiden, I want to come to you because I want to talk about performing in the space of the Skokie Theater. So I had an opportunity to deal with that twice. Once was for Porchlight. I hosted one of the New Faces series. They let me do 1964 because I love Fiddler on the Roof, and that let me sing. But the other time was when I was a little kid, and my parents rented out the theater for a birthday party. The movie was 1 million BC. There was no dialogue in it. At age 7, I could care less about Raquel Welch and what she was doing with dinosaurs, and we got thrown out of the theater. But let me ask you, now that it is what it is, which is this lovely live theater venue, but it is a small stage on a small sense. So what is it like to perform in that setting? And of course, we have to throw it eventually back to Steve because you got to work with what you got.
Yeah. So like when I performed in Death Trap, what I did love is how small the space was, which made it much more intimate, that you were able to connect to the audience on a much deeper level. And especially with a show that's going to be like Company, where it's about the personal lives, like the little details of everything. I think it's going to be really cool for the audience to be able to be in that more intimate space and feel like they are a part of the story. Like they're one of the friends, they're one of the couples. You know, so that's honestly, I love the space that it's in.
Is there a lot of backstage space going there to play, or you're sort of? I don't think so. That's my understanding.
It's very small backstage space, but we make do with what we have because theater will always prevail.
it always goes back to Peter, doesn't it? And Fatima, you've done Sondheim before. As I mentioned, you were in Into the Woods. So is there something when you're doing a Sondheim, maybe auditioning for it, or maybe just knowing that you've been cast in a Sondheim show? Does that mean something special for you these days? I just, like I said, ever since we lost him, it's just been, everything is emotional for me with him.
Yeah, I think, well, one thing that I keep in mind is I think I'm one of the youngest people in this cast, which I'm like thinking about, and I haven't had a lot of time to sit with Sondheim as a composer. I mean, he passed away, I think, when I was maybe in the middle of college, potentially. So when I go into a Sondheim, I mean... something that I like to keep in mind is know the music, because the music and how particular it is very important to me, at least. And so I think about that. And then I just think about how truly like he altered the art of musical theater. And I try to keep that in mind and keep in mind how big this is, how big of a deal it is.
And the difficulty of singing Kelly, the rhythms, the singing, this is not easy music to sing.
No. And we girlfriends have a trio that's a really tight three-part harmony. And, you know, we just did some music rehearsals this month and we were very proud of ourselves pulling that together in a short amount of time. Shout out to Jeremy's, you know, our music director, helping us out a ton. But we have a really strong cast of really talented artists and musicians. Who exactly, Fatima, take pride in, you know, hitting all of those intricate beats and notes. And I also definitely love really challenging music because I love to just feel like I'm working all of my tiny muscles in this beautiful music. And so it's really, really fun to get to.
Oh, yeah. But by the way, I met Sondheim once in person at Ravinia. He used to come, I don't know if it was every year, but they did a 10-year tribute. Remember that, Steve? Over at Ravinia, and they did all his shows over a period of a decade. And one day I ran into him and I had something with me and I talked to him for a while. We had some mutual friends and he saw that I had something and he said, you know, I don't really want to sign anything. And I said, okay. I said, but you may remember the show Bounce, which played at the Goodman Theater, which was a bomb. Yes, Mr. Scott, it was a bomb.
It was.
And Richard Kind was in the show. And at one point in the show, he throws up a bunch of stock certificates. And I always kind of sit front row. And one of them landed in my lap. And so I said, this is what I have. And he looked and smiled and he goes, that I'll sign. So that was... It was always great to kind of break through it one way or another. Steve, you've directed so many things, again, from the classic to the traditional to the Shakespeare, on and on. Is Sondheim a special challenge for you in directing, or is it, and I don't mean to put it down, but it's another show?
It is. I mean, his work is a challenge because it's so dense. There is so much there, and you have to, you really have to mind it. It's very much like directing Shakespeare. Because Shakespeare, every word, every punctuation mark means something. With Sondheim, it's the same thing. Every word, every phrase, every change in tone, it all means something, and you have to figure out what that means emotionally and how that drives the story forward. So I started my career years ago directing a production of Oklahoma, which is a lovely show. But, you know, you can
the new the old one or the dark one?
I did the light version. I didn't do the dark version. We weren't that dark in 1980, I'm afraid. But it is what it is. Sondheim, there's always something else to look for. There's always subtext. There's always more something revealing itself in the smallest details. It's a great challenge. It's a great challenge to do in a fairly short time, but it's also so rewarding. You know, I have listened to this album. Well, I wore out copies of the album when it first came out. I've listened to it hundreds of times, and every time I listen to it, there is something new that I hadn't noticed before. So that's what's exciting to me about it.
You know, Graham, you can often find Sondheim and his life somewhere in the shows that he does. Sometimes it's a story. Sometimes it's, you know, for me, the song "Children Will Listen," in which you read. He talked about the fact that when his I think I might be a little off my facts, but when his mother was dying, they apparently did not get along. Correct me if anybody knows better than me what I'm saying. But he went to see his mother in the hospital, and she said, "The only thing I regret in my life was giving birth to you." Just so tragic. And from that came his writing of "Children Will Listen." I mean, it makes it so powerful. Graham, when you're preparing for these roles, and I guess any of you can chime in on these, I'm just kind of pointing to somebody, but do you think of his music and do you sort of say, we have a story to tell, we're doing company? Do you think about Sondheim? Do you think about his life? Do you think about where things fit in? What message he was trying to send, if any?
Yeah, I mean, a big portion of preparing for this role so far, I've been watching interviews with him and him talking about this show and why this matters to him, why he felt like this was meaningful for him, and finding, you know, to me, I read this show and I instantly think of my friends living right now, this age, 35, going through these struggles. Me, how did he live with that then? Where did that come from and why? Absolutely. I think that paints so much of the picture. And it goes back to the Shakespeare comment too about every single, there's a reason he put that crescendo there. There's a reason he wanted it to sound this way. Absolutely. I think.
Or that flat chord or that fifth.
Yes.
Or that, yeah.
100%. I think you have to live life. The more life you live, the more you can mirror on stage. And that has to be true of Sondheim in his writing as well.
And Aiden, I'm curious, you just did Death Trap Severed, not a big musical. So when you were looking for roles, yet, you know, you have this musical theater guy look. It's like I can see you in musical
theater. Thank you.
So are you about, put me in a musical, or are you about drama? I don't really care. I'll do it all.
Oh, put me in a musical. I love to sing. In fact, I told you you had that look. Oh, thank you. This past June, I actually did a production of Sweeney Todd over in Ottumwa, and I got to play the role of Tobias, which was very fun. And that's another show that has so many great motifs that, and I've been told this a million times, that, not Shakespeare, well, kind of, Sondheim writes the acting does itself. Like, the performance does itself with Sondheim's writing. Like, you don't have to add the layers to it because he's so brilliant with all his little details and motifs that it just comes through, kind of like Shakespeare and with like Scansion and all that.
Well, that's really interesting. So we need to go to Fatima, your both spouse and ex in doing this. So having heard what Aiden just said, I mean, do you find that too? As you're trying to tell the story, are you looking to the dialogue and the lines, or are you looking at the music and realizing he's telling so much of the story through that?
I mean, I think when you do musical theater, you have to kind of look at both. And so you're given this time in a music rehearsal to look at the music and think, huh, why am I singing this way? What impact does it have when I go up like this or I go down like this? And then I think as you go on, you sort of, the music and you singing a line becomes dialogue in mm-hmm. its own way. Specifically with Sondheim, I think it's dialogue rather than I'm singing a song in Moulin Rouge. It's like, no, I'm speaking to a character and we're all saying the same thing because it's what we're saying together.
And Kelly, when you got the script and you're looking through it, did you go to the music immediately or did you read the dialogue? Is it one piece or you're like, oh, this is the show that has this song?
Well, I mean, of course, I've listened to Company as well a million times. So the music is certainly, I think, the first thing that really resonates with me. And I think in everyday life as a person, my brain like absorbs the music. And then I find myself like listening to songs over and over again or, you know, then practicing and then being like, oh, wow, this lyric meant this, you know what I mean? So I think for me, it goes music first, but lyrics first, but it's all working together, of course. And I did, of course, then read the script and I'm so excited to dig into our scene, Graham. Like, I'm so excited for that. And
yeah, me too. Oh my gosh. I cannot wait to get started.
I love it. Well, before I let you go, I just want to ask you this question, because as you prepare and you rehearse, you get ready and Steve directs you and you're getting ready to do this. We, who will come and see you in the audience as I look forward to it, I'll ask you, I'll start with you, Graham. When we walk out, how do you want us to think of Bobby? What do you want us to think of your character?
Oh, man, that's a loaded question. I think if there's anything to pull away is that this is someone we see a lot in our life and the people we know. And I think we've all met this kind of person who maybe is a little bit more immature or not figuring things out or not growing with the rest of us or doing the work. And I want people to leave feeling like that person, there's a reason that person isn't doing that. There is a human behind that. It's not just to be demonized, like, he's immature, whatever. It's like, no, this person has lived and been through things and has made the decisions to be this way for a reason. And anyone at any age can figure that out and grow. And the work can be done at any time. You're not this, we talked about this clock earlier of this, oh, I'm running out of time. Like my friends are outgrowing me or they're moving on. It's, no, you can do this work at any time. There's always time to forgive yourself, move forward, work on who you are. And that's what I want people to feel from this character.
Aiden and Fatima, if people come up to you in the lobby afterwards and you say hi to people, I'm putting you together in this so people see, oh, look, there's Peter and Susan. And so when they think that way, because we all get confused and forget who's real and who's you know, a role, what is it you think people will say to you? I mean, putting you in role and then people see you in the lobby, Fatima, I'll start with you. What do you think they're going to do just as they talk to you as Susan and Peter? Because everybody has their own ideas.
Hey, honestly, I think that people will expect an accent, likely.
Are we going to get one?
Oh, maybe, you know, maybe they'll get one. Maybe they won't. Maybe it'll be British.
Okay. Who knows?
Yeah, probably that. But
Yiddish
also
is good. I can go with Yiddish. That's good.
Yiddish. I wonder if people will, I don't know, associate me with the kindness of her character, and I honestly probably is very flattering.
And Aiden, when your friends see you and they just seen you play this role, do they say you are so Peter or not?
I think a lot of my friends will probably be a little shocked because I don't think Peter is exactly how I act. I think I do still like to live my life through the jokes, like try to like be funny. I think that's very Peter. But I think I am so much more extra in my life than Peter is. But so I think I at least hope that my acting abilities will be able to shock them.
And Kelly, when people see you, do you think they'll say, you could get this guy, you just got to keep working on Peter?
Well, good question. I mean, I think, you know, what happens with Kathy and Bobby will be a great, you know, juicy little detail that if you come and see the show, you're going to be like, oh, you know, it's just miscommunication, really. So that's why their relationship is just especially intriguing to me. As far as my relation to the character, I think really well casting Steve, because I love New York. But to give a little bit away, Kathy is more of a, you know, I'm going to go to the burbs, okay? And I love Chicago because it's that balance of a big city and also having pockets of neighborhood feeling. I'm in Lakeview, so I love the pace here. And New York can kind of be a lot for me. So that's my relation to Kathy, I would say, to start. But we're going to dig in more as we go.
And I'm in Lakeview, and I grew up in Skokie where you're performing, so I get the distinction as well. And by the way, Steve is a good caster, but if he was that good, I'd be playing Joanne, okay? So let's, you know.
I thought of you, Paul, as we were casting.
Thank you, Stephen. And finally, Steve, let me come to you. As you direct all of these projects, I mean, you as the director, I mean, this is your image, your reputation. What do you want when people leave this version of Company and they go, the great Steve Scott directed this? How do you want us to think about it and feel it in terms of your selecting and agreeing to do it?
I think when you describe it, the story of Company is rather dark. The music mitigates that to a certain extent, but there is hope at the end of it, and kind of lightness and celebration at the end of it. And so I hope that people feel like they've been through an emotional experience, but that it, you know, it's going to be okay. It's not like the end of Sweeney Todd where everybody's dead. It's, you know, yes, life has challenges, and we all have fears about what the future is going to bring, but just keep going, you'll find it. And I think that's ultimately what Sondheim is. I think that's why Sondheim wrote it himself, and I think that's what he wants us to think about.
It's a classic show. It's so great. And I was so happy when I saw that they were doing it up at Skokie Theater. Again, I look forward to seeing y'all in that production. So break legs to everybody as you get ready for this. And let me encourage everybody that you want to see, I was at Sweeney Todd, you want to see Company by Stephen Sondheim at the Skokie Theater. You can get tickets at skokietheater.org, theater spelled T-R-E. We'll have that on the website as well. And then the date's February 6th through March 1st. Yeah, you got a few weeks to run, which is good to go. And I know you all, you just look like you're going to have fun with this and have a great time. And I can't wait to see you. Thanks for spending this amount of time with me. I sure appreciate it. Break legs, and I will see you all soon.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, everybody. And thank you all for watching us here on Behind the Curtain.